Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tony and Brother Elijah and Sister Hannah for your hard work tonight. We sure appreciate it. Amen. I love good singing. I love guitar picking. I just love praising the Lord. Amen. It's good to be a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you on a thought this evening. Established on thus saith the Lord. Established on thus saith the Lord. How many knows it's good to be established?
Amen.
Amen. And it's good to be established on the right thing. But a lot of people established on the wrong thing. It don't do no good to be established if it's on the wrong thing. But we want to be established on the right thing.
Amen.
And we want to go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. And we want to say thank you again, Brother Tony and Sister Lisa, for being there and all that were there, able to be there at the service today for the family. We sure appreciate that. And thank the Lord for bringing some healing. And we believe he'll continue to do that. Amen. I know there's many that are tired tonight. You know, there's nothing like being tired from an emotional tired. We thank you for your sacrifice of being here tonight. And we're just going to believe that the Lord will refill our cups.
Amen.
And give us what we have need of tonight.
Colossians
chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And we'll go to another scripture in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. That's Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. She'll have this on the multimedia also. And give just people a couple of minutes, to a couple of seconds anyway, to get your places in the scriptures. I appreciate seeing people turn in their Bibles. Amen. It's just, I think it's a special thing for the Lord. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. I thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, I ask you to help me, Lord, in my flesh to be able to yield myself to you. Lord, I ask you to touch every believing heart tonight, every listener tonight, Lord, the days to come, that they will be led by you, Lord, to be able to listen and to yield themselves to the word being given. Lord, that it can fall deep into our hearts, Lord, that in the coming days it can bring forth life, Lord. Lord, I recognize and acknowledge that I can give this word, but Lord, it takes you to give the increase from it. I ask you, Lord, for your increase. I ask you for your leadership tonight. Lord, help me to say everything in the exact demeanor that you want me to say it in, Lord. And Lord, may they receive it in such, Father. We love you. We welcome you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm just going to read just a little quote with you. That'd be okay. It says, now when God sent his sons out, sons and daughters, he got a tutor or a raiser for that sons and daughters, and it wasn't a bishop, neither was it a cardinal. He couldn't trust them. So he got the best there was in heaven to raise his church, the Holy Spirit. He's the tutor of the church, and he's honest. He will tell the Father just exactly what we're doing. He will not hold back one thing. He will be honest before the Father how his children's progressing. Now, that's the reason he picked that one. There was no better he could find than to have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We've adopted everything else but the Holy Spirit. We don't want the Holy Spirit to teach us. We want to let the bishop tell us what to do, or the cardinals, or somebody to tell us what to do. Don't make any difference what they say if it's contrary to God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit, for that's your tutor. Can you say that?
Amen.
God's tutor is our leader. God's tutor is the Holy Spirit is the tutor that wants to lead us. And you know, I believe God has an intended purpose for man. It's not that just man would follow in a group, but it's that God desires his spirit and his life inside man. You know, he wants to put his very life inside of us. You know, the children of Israel, they wanted a king like all the other nations, and they would rather pay tax and tributes to that king and let them do the fighting for them and let them just be identified under that kingdom rather than being led by God's word, by God's provided way in the beginning, which was God would speak through a prophet and God would give word to the people. Is that right? They wanted to follow man. They wanted to follow the rules. But you know, God wants to be our tutor. And God wants to give his church the responsibility that they are not only called to, but what they are capable of. You know, God wants to give you responsibility. God wants to give me responsibility that you're called to and that you are capable of. Not capable in yourself, but when you yield to His Spirit will do the work inside you. Amen? Do you believe that?
Amen.
He cannot release His authority given to us if it's an irresponsible person that doesn't know how to use the power. It would be just as foolish as, you know, of a father giving a son a skill saw whenever he's 5 years old or 6 years old or doesn't know how to handle it, because even with good intentions, he could hurt himself. Because it's something, it's a power that he has. And it's God is the same way. He wants you to have the character and the responsibility to handle what God has given you. And I want to say it again. Amen. You are called to responsibility. We are called to carry the word for this hour. And that is the most wonderful thing that a person can do, is to carry the word of the hour.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to St. John chapter 5, verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, a branch without life in it is just a dead branch.
Right.
And you know, brother, sister, that's exactly the way man is. If man does not have the Holy Spirit flowing through him, he is dead. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that sounds so simple, but it's so real, brother, sister. That is what gives you life, is whenever you are abiding in the vine, when you are abiding in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're talking about being established on thus saith the Lord. So it's not just having words, but it's having the life. And you're established in that life. Because when you are established in that life, His Holy Spirit will do the work through your life. How many of you desire the work of the Holy Spirit to work through your life? Absolutely. Every one of us. Just as sure as a peach tree has a responsibility to bear peaches, that's its responsibility. But you know what? It has the capability within itself, but it must abide in the vine. It must have the proper water, the proper sunlight, and it has everything that it needs to do what it is responsible of. Mm-hmm. In the Church of the Living God, the Bride of Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility in this hour to bear a fruit for this hour. And
right.
We have the capability to do that, but we must abide in, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Amen? And we'll try to get through that in just a little bit. I know you're tired, but I'm going to try to do my best to keep this just right on beat for you, okay? The branch must abide in the vine in order to have the life, because a branch can do nothing without the life of the vine. Let's go to St. John chapter 5, verses 5 through 19. We're going to read just a few scriptures here. He says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him, What that was cured? It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in the place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple." I love that. Jesus went looking for the man.
Amen.
Amen. "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he had said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Jesus had compassion on this man. You know, we would look as natural men, we could look and say, if I was Jesus, I would heal every single person I went in contact with. But that's not what he did.
Right.
Jesus, remember one time he went through a market, he touched one person, they received healed because God had compassion on them. And what it was, that was the will of God.
Right.
Jesus could do nothing unless the Father showed him, brother and sister.
Right.
And that is exactly the way you and I are, just as sure as a branch that's abiding in the vine. That branch can only bear what that life inside of it is producing it to do. And so there's a work that the bride of Jesus Christ can do this hour, but you can only do the work that God has called you to do.
Right.
You know, God has anointed you. So that doesn't mean you're going to go out and lay hands on every single person out there and they'll receive healing. And they'll receive their healing. Because, you know, maybe you will, maybe you won't. But you know what? God had called you. But if God anoints you and God leads you to lay your hand on somebody, God will heal that person. God will get their healed before the foundation of the world. Because you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because you're following, thus saith the Lord. Now, would you believe that the Holy Spirit was inside Jesus? Absolutely. The Holy Spirit was inside Jesus. Jesus told this man, take up thy bed and walk. He didn't lay hands on him. He didn't do anything. What did he do? He said, take up your bed and walk. This man had it was the Holy Spirit was wanting to manifest itself. And this man had to hear the voice of what he said. And the voice said, take up thy bed and walk. And that man just listened to what that voice said. It was thus saith the Lord. The word said, take up thy bed and thy walk. And that man took up the bed. He listened to what the voice said. He took up his bed and he walked, brother and sister. Right. This was a man that was beat down. He was deprived. He saw the pool. Every time he tried to get up to be healed, somebody stepped out in front of him. This man come to an opportunity when the Holy Spirit wanted to do a manifestation in his life, but he had to listen what the Spirit said.
Right.
And because he took up the bed and started walking, God healed the man. Is right? But then the Lord said, if you stop, sin no more, or something greater is going to come upon you. So the point I'm trying to establish, and we'll get further down the point, is the vine was telling the branch, take up thy bed and walk.
Right.
The vine was saying, this is your time, walk.
Mm-hmm.
He could have done it yesterday. He could have done it 2 weeks ago. He could have done it 3 weeks ago. At that precise moment, the Holy Spirit said, take up thy bed and start walking. There are moments in our life whenever a person will have an unction of the Holy Ghost come upon your heart. And at that moment, whenever you listen to what that unctioning of the Holy Spirit does, you can take up your bed and walk, so to speak. And I believe with all my heart, that's exactly the way the rapture is going to be, brother and sister.
Right.
It's going to be a voice that's going to speak to you. This is your time. Take up your bed and walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be about a bunch of feelings. It's not going to be a bunch of emotion. It's going to be an unction of the Holy Ghost. And at that precise moment, because you are in sync and because you are abiding and you are established on thus saith the Lord, you're going to take a rapture that day.
Amen.
Just as sure as this man, if you were to ask this man, do you have faith to be healed? He probably would absolutely say, I don't have faith. I got to get to the pool. I got to do this. I got to get to this action. But what happened? Jesus come to the man. He said, take up your bed and walk.
Right.
I believe it's going to be so simple. Brother Tony mentioned the other day, and I've always believed that too, brother. I would be very surprised if rapture mornings are during church.
Right.
I've always believed it'd be on a Tuesday, a Thursday, or someday whenever you're doing your normal life.
Right.
Amen. Jesus commanded him to start walking. The church was so concerned about keeping order. Now catch what I'm trying to say here. The church was so concerned about keeping order, they were trying to restrict Jesus from manifesting himself. And it's so many times we as people, we are trying so hard to keep the order. We're afraid to let the Holy Ghost move that we hinder the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will not get out of order.
Right.
The Holy Ghost will not do that, brother. If God is moving on you to move, move. You know,
yeah.
Just follow. And that's Brother Branham. I didn't bring the quote with you. Brother Branham said, that's what the church needs to work on, is on that impulse. When the Holy Spirit moves on you, move right then. Do exactly what God told you. God tells you to pray for someone, pray for them right then. If God tells you to just say something about it, say something to somebody. Say it right then. Don't put it off.
Right.
Because that's what are you doing when you're doing that? You're established on thus saith the Lord. Because thus saith the Lord isn't just when the prophet says thus saith the Lord. It's when God is speaking to you.
Amen.
On a daily basis. The unction, what is it? It's the tutor. The tutor is tutoring us on a daily basis, showing us the word, showing you the words, giving you the wooing of the Holy Ghost. And it's whenever we will be obedient to what that voice is saying, brother and sister, it will go in agreement with the Scriptures.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit will not lead you away from the word.
Right.
It will not lead you to an unholy life. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to repentance. It will always lead you to humbleness.
Mm-hmm.
It will always lead you to a meek spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is a gentle spirit.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to what Brother Brim says. He says, let's watch the type of person he was. Let's look at his character, watch his ministry. And as he worked then, he works now. As he was then, he is now and will be forever. And just what he did in them days, he'll do it today. He'll be just the same forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same type of character. A man that professes to be a Christian must have a Christ-like nature. If it isn't, there's another nature there which isn't Christ-like. If you had the nature of a killer, if I told you had the spirit of John Dillinger, some famous outlaw, you'd expect me to have guns. And it'd be dangerous to be sitting around here where I was at, because I'd be a murderer. If I told you I had the spirit of some famous mechanic, you'd expect me to know what was wrong with your car if I looked at it. If I told you the spirit of Christ in me, I must act like Jesus. You must act like Jesus. Your character and conduct must be molded like that. And the Holy Spirit molds that conduct when it comes into you, when you're really born again of the Spirit of God. What we need tonight is that type of church. A church when Jesus, whatever the Father showed him, he believed it, it had to be what the Father's words was. He used the Father's word to defeat Satan. He used the Father's word to defeat Satan without using his power. I want you to notice how simple this is. When Jesus was here on earth, he was Emmanuel. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God was manifested in the flesh in Jesus Christ, and he was the Emmanuel. When he walked along here on earth, he had power. What the Father was, he manifested himself in the Son. But when he met Satan, he never used any of his power. He used the Father's word. Brother and sister, it's so simple, but that is the victory of the believer, is using the word.
Amen.
It's where, you know, I may not feel it, I may not see it, but the word says, and you believe that word.
Amen.
And then, brother and sister, when you do it that way, that is the word doing the work in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Philippians 2, 5 through 8. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross." Jesus made no reputation of himself. Jesus waited for the leadership from the Father. He didn't just go around healing everybody he went, just laying hands on everybody. Jesus did the will of the Father. Brother and sister, and that is where the victorious of the Christian is whenever our purpose and our aim is to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
Lord, on this day, my desire, Lord, I want to do your will in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Lord, just as sure as you've got heaven in order, you've got the planets in order, they're not trying to be nothing, they're not. They're exactly positionally placed where they need to be because they are. It all works together. Just like that, may in earth, may I be able to do that. If I'm a housewife, if I'm a husband, if I'm a son, if I'm a daughter, if I'm a mechanic, if I'm a truck driver, no matter what it is, may I be so positionally in that capacity that it would be just as positional as it would be in earth, that I only do what the Father wants me to do.
Right.
Amen? Because I want, because I'm striving to do the will of the Father.
Amen.
An oak tree is not trying to be a pine tree. A pine tree is not trying to be an oak tree. It's just being what it is. It's simple as it is. It's just drawing life. And brother and sister, when that vine pushes through it, it needs to put something out, it'll do it because it's right on time. You know, nature is right on time because it's not trying to be anything that it's not. It's simply abiding in the vine. In the church of the living God, it's the same way. Whenever we will abide in the Holy Spirit, abiding in the Word, planted in the waters, we will not be moved. We will bear our fruit in due season. Amen.
Right.
How many of you want to bear fruit?
Amen.
Amen. I want to bear fruit, but I don't want to be anything fake. I don't want to be anything made up. I want to be genuine to where when somebody comes to me, they can draw from the experience that God is putting in my heart on a daily basis.
Amen.
And brother and sister, it's because the Holy Spirit is tutoring us on a daily basis. When you get up and you stub your toe, it's a trial. It's the tutor right there to see how you would. You can't control the things that happen to you, but you can control how you handle
right.
the things
Amen.
That happen to you.
Right.
Amen. A lot of times people will, because they handle things wrong, they'll defeat themselves because of what's happening. Because you've got to stop thinking about what happened to you and just start saying, "Lord, help me. Help me to humble myself." Amen. Read this quote. It says, it's kind of turning a page just a little bit. Just bear with me. He says, "Then we find out after Jehoshaphat had made his alliance and they consulted. Now watch Watch the outside world. He said, sure, we've got plenty of prophets down here. We got a seminary full of them. They go down and they get the fellows that had been trained, who know psychology, who know all that, said, come up now, and we're asking and consult the Lord. All of them, of course, in their fleshly, puffed up mind, come up there and said, now look, you go on up. The Lord is with you, and the Lord is going to give you that piece of land up there. It's going to be yours. You're going to push the Syrians all the way back. You're going to do it. One of them even made himself a big pair of iron horns, began to run around like this, and this is what you're going to push the Syrians away. I must pause here for just a second. These men weren't telling them to try. These men were telling him, this is a divine promise of your word. Surely God is with you. You can drive the Syrians away. Go with it. God's with you. You understand what I'm saying? These men weren't trying to do something crazy. This is something that looks very religious. God's with you. You don't drive the Syrians out because God is with you. You're a branch. You've got God with you. You can bear this fruit. Go drive them out. This is what they're saying. But Jehoshaphat, just a little more spiritual to put on the Tommy rod of clowning. That's right. God, give us some more Jehoshaphats, sick and tired of this here Hollywood clowning. That's right. Put on, pretending to be something that we're not, making out, dramatizing, drawing it in. And then when they come in, what you got when you get in? Like asking man come swim in a desert, nothing but base sand upon your head to cause sorrows afterwards. That's the invasion of the United States. These men had many prophets in that day. And these men, to be a prophet in that day, you had to be upright. You had to be someone that walked upright where people said, yep, this is a prophet. If they don't, they'd stone them. These men were walking upright, and they said, absolutely, you go drive out the Syrians. God's with you. You're going to do this. And he said, something's not right. Ain't there somebody else that we can consult? Why do you need to consult somebody else? We've got 50 men that's telling you, go drive out the Syrians. He said, because there's something inside me that just don't seem right. Because remember, Ahab was cursed, and God cursed Ahab already. And Ahab was an enemy to God. You know, and Ahab is the reason that this victory was not going to take place. And Ahab said, you know, there is somebody else, but I hate this guy. Talk about Micah. He said, I hate this guy because he's always got something bad to say about me. So, you know, they say, he said, ain't there somebody else that we can console? Ain't there somebody? Because remind you, they want to do a work of God. They want to do a move of God. They want to drive out the Syrians. They're not trying to do something crazy. They want to do something. How crazy would it be to go lay hands on everybody, lay your hands on somebody, and they'd be healed? It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? If you look at man's capacity of seeing, how could Jesus walk through this market and all the people be touching Jesus and none of them receive their healing that we know of? But one little woman walks through there and she pushes through the crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And this woman pushes through, and she receives her healing. But yet all these other people were with Jesus to the point of just bumping him, touching him, and he said, somebody touched me. He says, what do you mean, Jesus, someone touched you? There's lots of people touched me. He said, yeah, but I felt virtue leave me. See, the presence of Jesus Christ was right there, and I always think of it like a generator. Whenever you put a generator and you hook a cord to it and you turn on the power, and it goes, that generator will make a certain noise, like, and go, what it is, something sucking the power out of it. You like that, didn't you? That generator makes a certain noise, but all of a sudden you can hear the voice, the sound of the machine change. What is it? Something's being drawn out of that. And that's the only way I know how to express how I must feel. Jesus must have felt, because he was that mighty generator walking through, but all of a sudden, felt that pull, where somebody was able to pull on the Holy Spirit. What was it? It was the will of God. And because it was the will of God for that woman to press through and have that fight, listen to me, she heard a voice of a deep call to the deep inside this woman to go touch him, go touch him, go touch him, just as sure as the Holy Spirit would tell that man, take up your bed and walk. He had to listen to what that voice said or he would have laid right on his bed. This woman that needed the blood issue healed, she had the same tug in her heart. Go touch him, go touch him, go touch him. And there was resistance to keep her from doing it. But she had to keep pressing herself beyond the people, beyond the doubt, and she had to touch his garment and she received her healing.
Amen.
These are real manifestations. But here are these people. They're saying, go drive out the Syrians. Go do these things. And he said, but ain't there one more that we can go talk to? And he talks to Micah. And he said, all I see is the children of Israel going and they're scattered without a shepherd. He said, and, you know, they come to Micah before. So listen, Micah, we've already got this figured out. God is with us. We're gonna push these Syrians out. We're going to do this mighty work of God. We're going to do these things. I'm going to stop here for just a moment and just show you something. We're fighting the same battle that was happening when the prophet was right here on the earth. He said there would be 6,000 people that would give their heart to the Lord. He said, 6 days later, you can't find six. What were they doing? Trying to drive out the Syrians, and they were utterly failing. Brother and sister, I want to see the victory of God among his people. And the only way that will happen is when individual people, God deals with individuals. Where God wants to put his spirit in the individual heart, where his Holy Spirit, his tutor, is guiding every person's heart individually, bringing you individually into perfection in his sight. You have a purpose in this life. You have a calling in your life. You have a responsibility in this life, and you're called to that responsibility of being a son and daughter of God. Amen. These people want to do a work of God. They went to Micah and said, now listen, Micah, we would have got this figured out. You just go with the flow. He said, I'm going to speak but what God tells me to speak. Thank God for that, for men that will not compromise. Amen. It don't matter what everybody else says. And we're going to stay right with this word.
Amen.
Amen. There's a sound gospel. It's the simplicity of the gospel, brother and sister. You know, the thing about man is man gets too puffed up. Brother Branham talked about how the God will begin to use a man and God, he'll begin to bless him a little bit, and the man will get puffed up in himself, and God will have to pull his hand back from the man until he humbles himself. And then God will put his hand back on. It's not just ministry, brother. That's individuals. God wants to work in our lives on an individual level. But you know what? When God begins to use us, we cannot allow ourselves to get puffed up, to think we're something, because we are not. Listen to me. A branch will die just as quick as it wore something. You get that branch away from the vine, it will no longer bear fruit. These people were trying to bear fruit, but they were not abiding in the vine, because thus saith the Lord was not telling them to go do that. Micah told him, don't you do it. He said, when you come back, we put him in prison. He said, we come back, we'll deal with you. He said, you come back at all. God ain't spoke to me. How many of us want to tell you the truth?
Amen.
Brother and sister, we need to abide in the vine of thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know, God's given us a great message. Yeah, absolutely abide in that message. But listen, it's not just that message, brother and sister. It's that spirit, that Holy Spirit that God is talking to you on a daily basis. Because listen to me, that's going to be the voice that's going to speak to you on rapture morning.
Amen.
It's so important that we catch that. It is so simple. It is so simple that Holy Spirit is going to give you that quickening. Brother Brennan says a lot of times people have faith and they don't realize they have faith. You know, you'll get in your car and you go to turn your key. You don't even think about it. You just turn the key and you start the car.
Right.
That's faith. Brother Brennan talked about faith. He said, when you have a dollar to go buy your bread, he said, but you don't have the dollar, but you have the same faith. You have the same confidence that I can get that bread. And that's faith.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, faith it's still like the ministry. It's really been going back and forth on this. It's faith is how you please God. It's faith how you touch God. It's faith by reaching God. Brother and sister, it's walking by that faith.
Right.
It's whenever you're taking it, but it's abiding in the vine and doing the will of God. It was not God's will for them to go captivate this. It was not God's will for them to go do these things. And listen to me, you can do a work or try to do a work that genuinely looks like this is according to the Bible. I can do this. But if it is not God leading you to do it, you're doing it in yourself and you will fail utterly.
Amen.
You'll be just like a dead branch. That branch must abide in the vine, and we must abide in the tutor of the Holy Spirit on your daily walk.
Amen.
When you're praying, you're meditating, you're thinking on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Short and sweet. We want to abide in that vine, established on thus saith the Lord, to where we are listening to that voice, listening to that tutor, because that tutor is, I want to say this, but as your brother Tony comes, the Holy Spirit has been given to us because we have a responsibility in this hour to be the light of this hour.
Amen.
Brother and sister, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
You love that feeling when you're talking to somebody and you see their face light up? It's a good feeling, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I see your face is lighting up right now. Yep, I know what you're talking about. It's a wonderful feeling.
Amen.
Brother and sister, that's what we're called to.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I love you. I know this has been maybe probably chopped up tonight, but I pray that they would receive something from it, Lord, that would give them the encouragement the coming days, Lord, that we want to abide in your vine, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we have no desire to try to go out and just try to do a bunch of works in ourselves, Lord. We have no desire to try to make ourselves a reputation. Lord, we desire to be just like you, to humble ourselves and to listen to your voice and do exactly what you show us to do. Do exactly what you tell us to do. We want to be quick on that impulse. Lord, help us do better. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you.
We enjoyed that.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good. Truth. Amen. Holy Spirit is our tutor. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it.
Yeah.
You know, we can do things for the Lord and ourselves, and it's vain. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to us, is so that what we do becomes from the Lord. And so the work we do, maybe we're building a house or building something for the Lord, it's the Lord doing it, and it'll be established. And if it's not, it's just yourself, and then it'll fail. And so Holy Spirit, as he said, is our tutor. And do you realize what he's saying there? The prophet telling us this, the Holy Spirit, he gives the whole scenario of how God would send him down and to lead us and guide us. But the tutor gets the child ready for adoption, ready for authority. That's what he does. And so when God deals with you every day, and it's for a Christian, it's every day, that's the Holy Spirit moving you, trying to move you into that direction where God can give you something. He can put you out there, give you that authority. And so the Holy Spirit is here to give us what we need to make us mature.
Right.
And as he's doing that, he will never, as Brother Daniel said, he'll not deviate from the word. He will use the word to do it. Right? And so it is, you know, scripture says if you don't have his spirit, you're none of his. So you're none of his. This is how we know that we're his, because of the spirit that he puts in us.
Yes.
And that spirit in us will cause us to do and act like Jesus.
Yes.
Now, you may not raise the dead tomorrow, but that spirit will deal with you and will speak with you and lead you and guide you according to the word. He will bring to remembrance the things that you've read, things you've heard.
Yes.
That's what the Holy Spirit, it's Christ. And so we don't want to be anything other than that. It's just let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and be, so many times I'll say, be our hope and our stay.
Yes.
Amen. And so we really thank the Lord for what Brother Daniel shared with us tonight. There is a channel. There is a channel that the Holy Spirit has for his people. And what I just described to you now about being led by the Spirit, you know, a minister will learn this early on. Because, you know, you'll accept the responsibility to minister the gospel, and you'll put something together yourself and try and share it with the people. And you'll find out real quick. They might not even know it, but you'll find out real quick that the way the Lord wants to minister through you, and that minister will get from the Lord what it is he shares.
Yes.
And if he doesn't, you don't even want to do anything if you can't have the leadership of the Lord in your life.
Right.
And that's the way we should get. We should get to where this every day. We don't want to do anything except we know that the Lord is leading us to do it.
Amen.
It's a walk of faith.
Amen.
That's the only way to overcome. That's the only way to please God, is by faith. And brother, sister, when we do that, we all get in sync on rapture morning. We're all going to be.
Amen.
We're all going to be in that mode we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so between now and then, we just know that the Holy Spirit will keep dealing with us, molding us, and making us, and getting us ready. Amen. And we enjoyed that.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll sing just for a moment and we'll let you go.